This morning, we're going to be moving into part six of our summer series called Faith Builders. And one of the ways we build our faith is having a sense of God at work in the world. Now, sometimes we go out to join him in that. And being out in the world, sometimes different vistas, different sort of geographical and emotional landscapes give us a chance to see God slightly differently. It's in that spirit that I'm going to invite young Aiden Braun up here at this time to join me just for a brief interview. Do you remember? Let's welcome Aiden up first of all. That was the deep and genuine bow. I love that. Hold on here. Put that up. So you may remember late June, we had prayed for Aiden and three other students, and he was heading a certain place, and he's going to tell you about that now from his notes. So welcome and go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, so for those of you who do not know me, I'm Aiden. Just got back from Austria, taking a five-week-long adventure program through a Bible school. So this course took place in the Alps, which concluded of a variety of rock climbing, hiking, backpacking, canyoning, biking, running, and lots of other challenges. This program really led me closer to God and his amazing creation. It taught me patience. As we were hiking, we were assigned to different groups, and we were all given different types of people in our groups. So I had to wait a lot for people, but it taught me
You were the leader? You were leading the groups?
One day, yes.
Okay.
But it taught me to wait and to join back in the group and, you know, hike with them, right? So
being way up ahead of the trail, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, I highly recommend this course. It's called Upward Bound, if anyone's into the outdoors and looking for an amazing experience.
You would recommend it?
Yes.
Now, next week, I think you're going to have some brochures available at the back that you guys can explore. You can go online. Upward Bound's been around for quite a while. I would hazard a guess at 50, 40, maybe more years than that. Who would guess? Does that sound about right?
30.
About that? We're looking over at the parental units. They're tracking nicely. How many years? I think she's making that up personally.
I don't know.
So what was the hardest of the things, of the challenges that you undertook? Because you described climbing and hiking. What was the toughest thing you did, physically, I mean?
Okay, so we had to do a solo. So it was 24 hours by ourselves.
Like camping?
Yeah, camping, but by ourselves. So we were given a tarp and a 3-foot piece of rope. So what we would do is I ended up making a hammock because there were 3 anthills below me, and I couldn't sleep on the ground. So
is this part of it here?
Yes, that's my sleeping quarters right there.
Okay, that was your sleeping quarters for that 24-hour period?
So it ended up being a thunderstorm, and it poured rain. So I was dry, though. Just, you know. Crawled in the hammock.
Good for you. Are there some other images you brought with us?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Yeah. Can we maybe get the next one if that's possible?
So this is the top of the Dachstein Glacier. So the glacier is below. So this is like a peak that we summited, which of many peaks we summited.
Was that hard to do, climbing up? I mean, that's aerobic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was about 2,500 vertical meters up. We did a lot of hiking and like
wow.
We were roped
How would that compare to Shyam? How'd that compare?
I think Shyam's like 15.
Okay.
800.
Nice. Okay, next picture.
This is our group. So we had 45 people in our group, but this
and
is
only
just
those people made it?
Or? No. This is the individual groups we were assigned to.
It's a tough program. We were dropping like flies. Okay, next picture.
This is at a mountain hut.
Facebook.
This is also at the glacier.
Yep.
This is also where I got helicopter lifted.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't that cheating?
No. I fell and I couldn't walk. So.
Oh, really?
I pulled my Achilles heel, or a tendon. So, yeah, couldn't walk for
that's not good.
A week and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, that was fun.
Which part? The Achilles part or the helicopter part?
Oh, both parts.
Okay.
Yeah, that was good.
What's this picture here?
This is also another summit in a valley that we had to hike down into. There's three lakes where usually at the bottom of the valley, that's where we eat lunch. And then a go another 3 hours to our camp spot.
One of the questions that Aiden and I talked about as he came in that I didn't give him ahead of time, but I asked him ahead of time so he has some time to think about it. It's a question we always ask ourselves when we do these kinds of things that push us. We see God differently. How do we take that there and then and bring it home and make it meaningful here? So do you have any, you've had some time to think about it now. What insight might you share with us on how to keep those things alive, if not for us, for yourself? How are you doing that?
Well, I'd say what I really took away from each trip is how everything is such in depth, like detailed. Mm.
So in like creation, God. In creation itself,
yes.
You mean?
Yeah. Like every tree is different, every lake's different, and just like the type of rocks, the different terrain, it's just so like different. Like you could be in a forest and then like next minute in a big rock slide. And just how everything has just came into play and happened.
And it's all unique. And for us of faith, we would see that easily revealing the creator behind it because of all the detail and all this complexity. And I know that's how that's affected you. You see it and you go, oh, wow. How, do you find that experience sort of replicated here when you're out in nature? So do you go out into nature to sort of worship yourself periodically?
Well, I go to challenge myself and to also experience new challenges.
Like that.
Yes, like that.
Yeah. Awesome. So. Is there anything else you might want to say before we let you go?
I think that's everything.
Then I'm going to pray for you. And there it is. Lots of us worship really well. I know you're one of them, actually. In creation. Right. Because it's easier for us to get a sense of God's presence there. Let me pray for you. Thanks, buddy, for doing this. Father, thanks for Aiden and what you're doing in his life. Thanks that he will be able to look back, as he does moving forward in his life, at this time of meeting with you. These kinds of times in our life mark our stories. And we're able to say, I met you there. May his understanding of you, his increased intimacy with you, find root here in his heart. May he not, moving forward, dismiss this as just a fun time out, but more than that, much more than that, a meaningful encounter with you. And that he'd be able to say to his kids, should he have them, that I met God on this hill in Austria, and we talked, and he said things to me in my heart that I had never heard before, or he became clear to me than I had ever sensed. May he take this time and move it forward in his life and continue to find you in creation, but in other places, because you tell us those that seek you earnestly will find you. And I know that's true. That's been my experience too. I pray a blessing on Aiden. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thanks, buddy. Thank you. So all I'd like to do now is set the context a little bit for Chelsea to come up and wrap up our service this morning. But let me begin with a little bit of Canadian politics. On October 13th, 2015, some of us chose Justin Trudeau as our 23rd Prime Minister. In his first 6 months of office as our Prime Minister, he has, and he's been in there longer than that, been in leadership longer than that, but he has become known for three I's: Indigenous relations, international partnerships, and I as in he, as the face of his party, and the face of our country now. His approval rating is actually quite high, and I'm told it's not just because of his hair. If you go online, you'll find a current nonpartisan measure of him and his party's performance called the Trudeau Meter. And you can just Google it. It objectively reports what promises the Liberals have not yet started fulfilling, those that are in progress, those that have been accomplished, and those that have been broken. Now, it's a relatively new measure, so I don't know how this measure would stand against other parties. But pop quiz, out of 220 promises made by the Liberal Party of Canada before it came to office. Take a guess at how many have not been even started yet out of 220. 220 is a good guess. No, no. They're a little more active than that. So you'd be right to say the neighborhood of half of them have not even been worked on yet. At around 106 out of 220 have not even touched yet. How many are in progress out of those 220? What did you guess? 80. That's a good guess. 62 of them. How many have been achieved out of those 62 or on top of? Out of 220. How many? 34. Who said? Oh, you've hit the app, didn't you? Nice. That is veiled brilliance back there in the balcony. And then tell me, Tanner, how many promises have they broken? That is correct. 18. That is a future voter right there. It could be a future PM, right? He's got the hair. Now, do you want to spend a little time talking about American politics? No way, right? We just don't go there, understandably. So politicians, Canadian or American, they make promises, don't they? They have platforms and they have agendas for how they'd rule if only you would elect them. Those platforms tell us where they stand on certain issues and where they want to go on others. God has an agenda, too, for ruling this world. And I'm oversimplifying it probably to say it this way, but his platform is something like this. And there are basically 3 points I'll make that will set the context for what Chelsea's going to say now. As God rules this world, he has three of these things in mind. To unite the world and everything in it under his care through Jesus Christ. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile, to bring unity and wholeness. To reconcile to himself what? All things. All things. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Second platform mandate for God to rule this world is to reveal himself as the loving and gracious ruler that he is in Christ Jesus. Again, from Paul in Philippians chapter 2, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every knee will bow, willingly or unwillingly, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And then lastly, as we talked about last week, main mandate to put an end to suffering in this world. So we might ask, has he started? What of those promises are in progress? Has it been achieved? Has he broken any promises? To which we would say, reconciliation has begun. It is in progress. It is complete, but not quite completed. And God has broken no promises. But why, we might ask, has God not yet put an end to suffering? Which we'll talk about next week a little bit in terms of the promises that he makes and keeps. The simple theological answer, though, to why suffering has not ended is stated in the scriptures as well. Because he is giving everyone time to turn to him. Time to avoid suffering without end. Peter says this in his epistle. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So he's waiting so that people will get to a point of going, I am lost. And he's like, I know. Just turn to me. I adore you. I made you. I love you. I have plan and purpose for you. One of the big differences between God and campaigning politicians is that politicians talk about what they will do if they get elected, while God is already in office, if you like, carrying out his campaign, his plan. God is at work. naturally and supernaturally. He works through the design of his creation, like when a burn heals, it is God who heals it through how he made us. And he works sometimes in less common ways, what we would call miraculous ways. Like when one of our dear friends, cancer, mysteriously disappears. God is also at work in and through us, locally and globally, in our families, on our streets, in our workplaces, through our partnerships that we keep as a church. When we choose to forgive one another, that's an example. When we choose to adopt or sponsor children, that's an example. When we make and share a meal at Cyrus Center or Ruth and Naomi's mission, that's an example. When we help someone out at work who may not deserve our help, that is evidence of God at work in us and through us. When we build a house in Mexico for a pastor who then uses her home to have church there, that is God at work in his creation through us. And aren't we privileged to partner in it? These things bring about reconciliation and unity. These things reveal that we follow Jesus Christ. These things put an end, in many cases, to suffering of specific sorts. These things give people a chance then to turn to God, because underneath what we're doing is the Christ that impels us to do it. Chelsea, I'm going to invite her up at this time now, if she would come. And she's over here out of my periphery. I'm just going to give you a little bit of bio here. Has toured Canada and the U.S. with 3 albums, which have earned her no less than 15 different music awards, including 5 East Coast Music Awards, 5 Covenant Awards, and a 2015 Juno nomination. We are grateful. I know you have been, and I have been grateful that she's led us this morning in worship, and grateful that she's now going to invite us to think about how we might continue to be involved in the work of God out in his world through the work of Compassion Canada. So Chelsea, again, thanks for coming. Tell us a little bit about Compassion Canada and what that's meant for you. Do you want the cordless, or is that okay? You're good with that?
Whatever, Mike, you want to give me is fine with me.
Do you want to hold, are we putting the video up right now?
Not quite yet. Not quite yet. So can we pause that? Spoiler alert. So I'll just share a little bit about my personal background. So when I was 7 years old, that's when I gave my life to Christ. And I was in Sunday school one day. And to this day, I don't actually know what happened. But somehow, I was in a contest that I wasn't aware that I was in. And I got to be queen of the Sunday school for that day. And I'm like, how do you win a contest you don't know you're in? I don't know. But it happened. And so they put me up front, and I had this purple cape on, and they gave me this little tinfoil crown. And actually, I saw a little, Aurora with her crown? Yeah, I saw her with her crown today, and it's like, oh, woman after my own heart. So, so they put this crown on my head, and so I was sitting at the front with another boy who I'm not sure who it was, but the lesson for that day was about heaven. So they asked all the kids to close their eyes and raise their hands if they weren't sure if they were going to heaven or not. And I wasn't sure, but here's the thing. I was queen, and queens don't raise their hands to ask questions. So I kept my hand down, and I asked my mom about it in the car. So she pulled over to the side of the road and saw the opportunity. And so she, in the car, led me to Christ. She explained that Jesus came, the Son of God, came and died for my sins because I'm not perfect and God is perfect. And as a result, I was separated. So God loved me so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And then he rose to life 3 days later. And now because he's defeated death and because he's paid the penalty that I should have had, I'm able to have a relationship with him both now and for eternity. And so, 7 years old, that was my life-changing moment. And it's been really cool to see how God is at work, both, you're talking about that, how God is at work, both in my life personally and in the community in Canada and around the world. And I started thinking about that, about how God is at work. And I started asking God, God, what can I do to partner with you? Because I didn't want to be someone who just got up on stage and talked about hope and sang about freedom and, you know, whatever. I did, you know, did all these wonderful words, but didn't actually do anything to put hands and feet to the message. So I started asking God, God, what can I do? How can I partner with you? How can I leave a legacy? How can I introduce people to you? And around that time, I found out about an amazing organization called Compassion. So how many have heard of Compassion Canada before? All right, quite a few. So for those of you who didn't raise your hand, Compassion Canada is a Christian child development organization, and they are working around the world to be the hands and feet of Jesus and release children from poverty in Jesus' name. There were two things that struck me about Compassion when I first got to know the organization. So the first one was the integrity and transparency. It just struck me how no question was off limits, and in terms of the finances, anything, if I wanted to know the dollars and cents, I could ask that. And I thought, okay, this is something that I can get behind. And the second was how they are a Christ-centered organization. So that means that all the kids that get sponsored, every single child that gets sponsored gets that moment that I had when I was 7 with my mom. They get that with their Sunday school teachers or the different people that they meet through Compassion. And as a result, we're seeing roughly, I think it's 300 to 400 people worldwide giving their lives to Christ a day. I think like last year or the year before, I think it was like 153,000 people around the world that gave their lives to Christ for the first time through Compassion. And so I've been really excited to be able to feel like when I get up here, it's not, you know, it's not about me. It's about Jesus, and it's about making a difference and partnering with God in what he is doing. So I started sponsoring a little girl. Her name is Angelica. She is 6 years old from the Dominican, and she's very cute. And we write back and forth, and I got to meet her about 2 months ago. I went to the Dominican, and it was quite the experience. She is a fireball. when I got there, I found out that I noticed that her teachers were writing on her behalf. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I found out when I got there that she actually has autism. And before coming to the Compassion Project and coming to church, she didn't speak at all. Not a word. Her parents said not a word. And then it only took about 2 weeks of starting to come, being around other children, being around people that were pouring into her. She started talking. And she hasn't stopped ever since. So it's been a pleasure to see. I mean, I was not even aware of that when I was just writing back and forth and building this relationship with this child. And then I got there and found out that my sponsorship was doing so much more than I even knew. And so that's just the story of one child. And I'm going to share a video now of another story, a lady named Jennifer, who was a sponsored child.
I am Jennifer Gitiri, and I'm from Kenya. Growing up with a single parent in the slum was very, very difficult for me. Really living hand to mouth, because if my mom went to look for employment or even wash other people's clothes, if she came in the evening with a dollar, that's what we would use to buy a meal and eat at that particular time. If you wake up tomorrow, there's nothing to eat, then we'd take a glass of water and run to school. But Compassion, I opened a project at a church near our home. And for the first time as a young girl, I saw hope. Compassion provided for everything. They gave me books. When I was sick, Compassion would pay for my medical care. And I'm also thankful to my sponsor, who was very, very encouraging. You know, just writing letters of encouragement, telling me that you can make it, you can do it. Your past should not determine your future. I believe my sponsors were God-sent.
When we wrote to Jennifer, it was important to let her know that we really cared about her. I just said what a mother would say. You know, we're so proud of you. We're so proud that your grade card is good and that you've done such a good job.
I remember vividly our neighbor's child was raped. The child was 10 years. And these were the kind of things that I saw growing up that really made me decide to be a lawyer, someone who could speak for the rights of those who cannot speak for themselves. The beginning of this year, I joined the Kenya School of Law so that now I can be admitted into the bar and become an advocate in the High Court of Kenya. This summer, I went to the United States of America to be an advocate. I shared passionately about my story and how my sponsors had made a difference in my life, and they were brought on stage.
Here they are.
It was life-changing just to see those two people who'd sacrificed their resources, who used to pray for me, who used to encourage me. So for me to see these two people was just amazing.
Compassion gave us the opportunity to reach halfway around the world to rescue one little girl from whatever the future might have had in store for her.
It makes me cry all the time when I think of how far God has brought me, you know, from the ditches of poverty to this.
Today I am here as proof that indeed compassion releases children from poverty in Jesus' name. My children will never live in poverty. My children will know the word of God. And when I look at the packets at the compassion booth, my heart is broken because 17 years ago, my face was in that packet.
I don't know if you caught that at the end, but she said, my children will never live in poverty. My children will know the love of God. What a way to partner with God in what he's doing around the world. I'm so excited to be part of this. And every time I watch that video, I get goosebumps, literally every time. So if this is something that you are interested in finding more about, or if you'd like to sponsor a child, I have a table back there and Jackie, my friend. So both of us are here to help you. And if you have any questions, then we will do our best to answer or find those answers for you. And the sponsorship is $41 a month. And what happens is they assess the individual needs of that child. So if the child needs school supplies or a school uniform to go to school, or if they need a mattress or food, medical attention, then that $41 is allotted to impact your child directly. There's another option that's also $51, and that extra $10 goes to an emergency fund. So if anything were to happen, say a natural disaster, or they need immunizations or, you know, something, then they can take the money out of that emergency fund rather than using the money that is allotted for the children. I'm really excited about this, and I want to say thank you so much for having me and allowing me to be able to share what God has been doing and how he's allowed me to partner with him. And I want to invite you, if you have any questions or if you'd like to sponsor, come chat with me. And anybody who sponsors this morning, I want to offer my CD for free as a thank you gift. But when I was with Angelica a couple months ago, I got to sing a song for her and talk to her about how Jesus loves her. And I know that she's hearing that a lot at church, and her parents actually don't know the Lord, so it's neat that she's coming home after school each day and telling them about Jesus and saying, you need to give your life to Jesus. So I'm excited to hear what their story is. But she's learning a lot about God's love, and I'm excited to be a part of that. So we're going to just sing this one last song to end off, and I want to invite you to sing along.